This special edition of the Ag Pro Podcast comes from the Ag Retailers Association's DC Help Desk. ARA's Richard Gupton talks about the Department of Transportation's spare fuse requirement after a retailer submitted a comment to the help desk about that issue. So we'll talk a little bit about that and about other outdated regulations that ARA has their eye on, and we'll even hit on ELD. I'm Ashley Davenport, and this is the Ag Pro Podcast. The Ag Retailers Association seeks to assist members with questions about federal legislation impacting agriculture and regulatory compliance issues, and one such resource is the DC Help Desk. So joining me today on this special edition of the Ag Pro Podcast, I'm talking with Richard Gupton. He is the Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Counsel for the Ag Retailers Association. Richard, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Glad to be with you this morning.
And Richard, I understand that there's been a little bit of confusion around a Department of Transportation FMCSA regulation about spare fuses on trucks. So what's that all about?
Yeah, no, I know. It was brought to ARA's attention, and we have this thing called the DC Help Desk that our retailer members or other members are able to utilize to get help from the ARA's policy staff. And one of the things that was brought to our attention is that retailers are being cited by the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration that on spare fuses. There is a regulation that requires spare fuses on trucks, and it's outdated regulation, actually. So even though today's trucks do not have or use fuses, the bulk of them, all the new trucks, there was an outdated regulation that, you know, said if you didn't have spare fuses, you were going to get a DOT, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, citation.
So what is ARA doing to help address this problem?
Sure. The problem was the FMCSA individuals out in the field that are issuing these citations were not aware of the actual regulations. And so we turned to actually looking at the wording of the regulation to FMCSA officials in Washington, D.C., and discovered, again, the regulation only required a spare fuse on trucks that use spare fuses in the first place. And that was, just so you have a citation in the federal code, it's 49 Code of Federal Regulations, and it's 393.95 subsection B. And there's tons of federal regulations like this that are outdated, citing older technologies. So you can't get a violation for not having a spare fuse if your truck does not use those fuses. And that's the situation we were seeing ourselves. But the DOT FMCSA inspectors weren't aware of that, didn't understand it, and they were issuing any citations erroneously. And so we had to, identify that issue that I just brought up, inform our contacts at Federal Motor Carrier in Washington, D.C., and have them issue updated guidance to their inspectors to make sure that they're better trained and not issuing those types of erroneous citations.
So what other types of regulations should people be looking out for right now since they are outdated?
Yeah, I mean, we work on a wide range of issues. The one thing that's really on the forefront, OSHA has, for example, a regional emphasis program dealing with anhydrous ammonia. And so it covers a few states in the Midwest, including like Kansas and Nebraska. And we had to deal with this because some of the OSHA inspectors were trying to claim that the nurse tanks were out of compliance for the OSHA regulations. We're dealing with the data plates, but the primary regulator for those nurse tanks, which are transportation vehicles, is Department of Transportation's Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. And there is a process to allow those nurse tanks to stay in service if they go through a testing process and get certified and the like. OSHA inspectors were not recognizing that, and so we had to step in. We issued some legal and regulatory guidance for our members to utilize if they came to their facilities, and also reached out to DOT. And so that issue has been resolved as well. But we work on a host of issues right now. There's several issues related to EPA on label issues and some reporting issues that are where there's some potential for excessive fines, really steep fines on minor reporting issues or a minor potential label issue that has no harm to human health and the environment, yet EPA may be trying to have excessive fines against our members. So we weigh in on a whole host of issues with a variety of federal agencies to try to, you know, provide it, be an advocate for our members, and also make sure there's reasonableness to anything. If there's obviously some egregious violation of a federal regulation, then, you know, there needs to be some accountability. But when these are acts in good faith that are minor, maybe a minor paperwork issue that could be easily fixed, and no harm to the environment or human health, then there should be really the agencies working on compliance assistance with us and helping our members. We have the Responsible Ag Program that's also there to help with our members. And so we work in concert with those, with that program, Responsible Ag, and trying to be an advocate for our members and trying to address some of these, again, outdated issues like the spear fuse one when it comes up from time to time.
And what are you guys doing to work with the government about the spear fuse issue with FMCSA?
Well, I think it's, again, with the guidance being sent out, that's being been resolved. Again, that's just the tech, you know, maybe it does need to have a change in the regulations, but the fact that it says that, you know, these newer trucks don't require them, don't have them, I think it hopefully is a non-issue moving forward. If there does need to be actual further legislative or regulatory changes, we'll do that. One issue that did come up, it's something that project we're going to start trying to get Federal Motor Carrier to address, deals with this restricted CDL drivers for ag, for ag retailers. And so they're allowed by the states to have these restricted CDLs during the season, but you're only allowed 180 days. And so the problem is, given all the wet weather that's gone on this past season, there's been very narrow number of days allowed to move product. But once the clock starts for these restricted use of restricted CDL drivers, the clock continues to tick, even though you can't get out in the field or can't move product. So you may only have to have had like 5 days because of the weather this past season to move product. The clock for those 180 days during that part of the year was already ticking and using up some valuable days for those drivers. So we're going to try to get FMCSA to provide guidance and more flexibility where, you know, you're only counted against those 180 days for those drivers, the actual days they're being in service, and not days they're having to sit on the sidelines because of weather-related issues.
Right, and I think that we're running into those same issues for the whole ELD situation, too. What works as a could work if you're transporting hairbrushes or shampoo or dish soap isn't going to be the same as hauling oranges or cattle or hogs, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, you're dealing with livestock and ag commodities, perishable items, which are not the same, to your point. For our members, farm supply transporters, we're also trying to get additional regulatory relief under their hours of service ag exemptions, similar to those other sectors of ag, because it may not be a perishable item, but it's just-in-time delivery that you need to get to the farmer to help produce a crop. And so we are asking for all three are covered under the current hours of service agriculture exemption. So we've reached out to the administration and the lawmakers as they put together a new surface transportation reauthorization bill, which is going to be required to make sure farm supply transporters are also included in that. Again, the electronic logging device requirements are not going to go away. We understand they're here to stay, but we want a little bit more flexibility given, again, for example, planting and harvesting season. Not all states are year-round, so we want to make sure that's the case for every state and eliminate that as a statutory requirement. We'd also like to see the air mile radius, which is currently in statute 150 air miles, slightly expanded given the consolidation and our members are having to drive slightly farther distances. So that's an ask as well. I know the livestock industry has asked for, up to 300s on the front end and the back end of air mile radius. We're not asking necessarily for that much, but slightly additional air mile radius to give more flexibility, given that, again, that you have a driver shortages taking place. We want to make sure we have the qualified employees that are driving in a safe, responsible way and can get these products delivered in a timely way. So those are the things we're working on right now with Congress and the FMCSA to try to have some modest regulatory reforms that make sense, that can make sure these products are being transported in a safe way, but also make sure that production agriculture can operate and not be adversely impacted for some, again, what we think are outdated regulations.
Fantastic. And Richard, anything else that we need to hit on with the fuse issue or anything else that's on your radar right now?
No, again, we're here as an advocate for the ag retail distribution sector and here on behalf of our members and an advocate for them with these federal agencies. So if they do have issues that come up that, again, seem egregious and they think is a not fair citation or something that like that from one of the federal agencies, we're here to help. And that's what the DC Help Desk is all about. And so have them reach out to us. We're here as an advocate, not only engage the federal agencies, we engage their members of Congress as well and try to get them to help on behalf of the industry. And we've had to help kind of educate lawmakers. I encouraged our members to have facility visits, bring these lawmakers out. Every time there's a new election, there's a whole host of new different members of Congress and senators, and we need to continually educate them on these issues that impact our members and also make sure they're informed of the important role the ag retail distribution sector plays for production agriculture here in the United States. And so inviting them to visit the facility is very important. We help facilitate that for our members, and that's something else we can help with as well. We've had a few that took place over the last several weeks. We have some our members have scheduled facility visits with members of Congress coming up in the August break, and so we're encouraging our members to do that more often to make sure, again, that the regulations in place, the laws that are being enacted by members of Congress make sense or it's not going to adversely impact their freedom to operate. But again, an adversity impacting economically, and that's the main thing and why we're here in D.C. and why we encourage engagement by our members.
Fantastic. Well, I've been talking with Richard Gupton. He is the Senior Vice President of Public Policy and Counsel for the Ag Retailers Association. Richard, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And if you are an ARA member with advocacy or regulatory questions and you're interested in booking meetings with your representative or getting answers from regulatory agencies, you can log in and send questions through ARA's DC Help Desk. Many questions and issues can be answered or resolved within a few business days. For more information, go to aradc.org/helpdesk, or you can call 202-457-0825. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Ashley Davenport, and this is the AgPro Podcast.